So I'll bet there were a few of you that were a little surprised this morning to stand and sing robustly, We Three Kings. You thought to yourselves, is Christmas not over? Well, not quite yet. We are nearing the 12th day of Christmas, which is Epiphany. And I like to acknowledge Epiphany each year because it is a holiday that closes out the Christmas season, and it has such deep, rich meaning. And sometimes we would lose this meaning in the hustle and bustle of getting over with the gluttony and the excess and taking down the tree and returning the odd gifts and getting rid of the wrapping paper. So I encourage us this morning to set aside that hurry for just a little bit and to think about those last seekers to arrive at the Nativity. These words from the Gospel attributed to Luke, to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise ones from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." Then Herod secretly called the wise ones and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage too." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When the star stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left again for their own country by another road. Tomorrow morning in Mexico and all over Latin America, children will waken with glee to see what wonderful gifts have been left for them in the night. Tomorrow, January 6th, is El Día de los Tres Reyes, the Three Kings Day. Tomorrow, every plaza in Mexico will be filled with little children and their parents as the new toy truck or the new bicycle or the new doll baby is brought out in public for the first time to play with. Peals of laughter will fill those plazas, offering plentiful thanks to the three mysterious visitors who not only brought these children their gifts, but also brought the infant Jesus his gifts 2,000 years ago, or so the story tells us. But who are these three magi? Who are these three wise ones from the east? Who are these kings of Orientar? As I always used to think the song went, "We three kings of Orientar." There was many an afternoon spent with a globe trying to find Orientar. Who are these strangers bearing strange gifts, and what gifts might they bring to each of us in this new year? Those Mexican kids happily playing with their new toys, they know who the three kings are. They have been seeing them up close and in person for weeks. One of the most wonderful traditions of the Christmas season in Mexico is a family trip to see the three kings. This is very much like the traditional family trip to see Santa Claus in our own culture. In towns and cities, large and small, on weekends through December and early January, outdoor stalls are set up in the plazas. In these stalls, children can visit the three kings and tell them what gifts they would like. In these cheerfully decorated wooden booths, there's always a plastic horse, a plastic camel, and a plastic elephant. Astride these three animals are three teenage boys dressed up like the three kings. All wearing elegant robes and crowns, one of these boys will have on pale makeup and a blonde wig. One will have on brown makeup and a brunette wig. And you guessed it, the third one will be in blackface with a frizzy black wig. And this presentation is what immediately grabs the outside observers. These three kings are clearly not Mexican. They represent the outside world. They symbolize the far away and the different. They are of three different races, representing three different cultures. And it is exactly these differences that are celebrated in Mexico on Three Kings Day. If all the kings looked Mexican, they would lose some of their mystique. Without the makeup and the wigs, these ordinary teenage boys could not become marvelous visitors from faraway lands. And these teenagers know what very important role they play in the story. Astride his elephant or camel or horse, these strange-looking boys greet small children with winning smiles and open hearts. As the little one is lifted up to join them, each king knows that the child's hopes and dreams comes along with him or her too. This teenage boy remembers how his father or his mother lifted him up to be held by one of the kings when he was little. He remembers what it was like to whisper in the king's ear the name of a much longed-for toy. He remembers what it was like to be seen and heard. Epiphany, we know, simply means to see God. Epiphanies happen when we come face to face with the holy. When we have an epiphany, we have an epiphany when something that we have not understood becomes clear to us, when we accept something surprising and new. And so it is fitting that the Three Kings Day should be known in the Christian calendar as Epiphany. It is the day when the wise ones from the East literally saw God in the infant Jesus, or so the story tells us. Having seen an unusual star in the East, these wise ones, these astronomers, these scientists, decide to follow it. Was it a comet? Was it some other unusual alignment of stars or planets? Is it just a marvelous story? A scientific explanation doesn't really matter so much in a mythical story like this one. The journey of these wise ones over rough terrain, through deserts and mountains, across borders and cultures, that's what matters. The diligence and faith of these seekers is what brought them finally to see what they had sought, though it was not likely what they expected at all. One of the maxims that I live by is better living through lowered expectations. Better living through lowered expectations. I find that I am much happier and much more often if I am able to keep in check my own expectations, my expectations of myself and expectations of others as well. When I don't expect too much, I am continually pleased with how well things turn out. Think about it. It works. In the Christmas story, I would likely have been one of those shepherds, utterly amazed that this ordinary night tending sheep turned out to be something really extraordinary. But what of those three kings? What did they expect? After their meeting with Herod, they must have gotten their hopes up that they would find something truly magnificent when the star stopped moving. The story sets up the drama for us. King Herod secretly called for the wise ones and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. What must these learned astronomers have thought? Did they say to themselves, "We came all this way for this"? Did they give one another disappointing glances as they entered this humble dwelling place? Did they think that they had made some mistake when they found only an ordinary-looking baby with his young mother? Did they have second thoughts about handing over those valuable gifts that they had brought? Were their expectations too high? The last thing they must have been expecting to find at the end of such a long journey was an infant born in a barn to a carpenter and his young bride. The last thing they must have been expecting to find was a baby born to poverty and struggle in an occupied land. A star of such distinction would surely have led them to a great king, a wise ruler, a powerful person. But no. The epiphany the three kings were to have was that God had broken into their world in the form of a helpless child. The holy had become incarnate in the ordinary. Awe surprised them in the most unlikely of places. The story gives no indication that the three kings were disappointed in the slightest by what they found. It tells us, when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here is where the story has great promise for each of us. The most wonderful thing about the story of the three kings is not how rich and powerful and exotic they are. It is not about how important their visit is or how valuable their gifts are. Who brings a baby gold, frankincense, and myrrh anyway? The most wonderful thing about the story of the three kings is not even their persistence on the journey. The most wonderful thing about the story of the three kings is how they are able to see the sacred in the ordinary. It is how they are able to set aside their expectations, how they can bow on bended knee to something so common and so precious as a little child. Oh, how their sense of self-importance might have stopped these kings. Oh, how their busy schedules and important work might have made them turn back far sooner if they had known what the outcome of the journey was going to be. Oh, how their proud and noble birth might have precluded a visit to a lowly stable. Oh, how their expectations of others might have blocked their hearts and blinded their eyes. But no, they go into the stable. They see the child with his mother. They recognize what they have been seeking, and they humble themselves and give thanks. We too journey like the three kings. We too bear unusual gifts. We too represent the full breadth of humanity. Like the kings, we seek the holy, not knowing quite where we will find it or how. We too are strangers bearing strange gifts. As we journey into the new year together, you and I know not what we will encounter within its 365 days, what joys and sorrows will be ours this year, what triumphs and defeats will we know, what births and deaths, marriages and divorces, jobs lost and jobs gained will we witness. And what is our strange gift we carry? What will be our odd star that guides us? to live the religious life, we must trust that we are being led somewhere, and then we must be willing to accept what we find there. The religious life requires trust and patience. It requires us to be more comfortable with ambiguity, to have fewer things figured out for certain. The religious life puts us on a journey to a far-off land, seeking heaven knows what, and on a schedule not of our own choosing. And like the three kings, the journey and its goal can reward us with great joy. But I promise you, what we find at the end of our journey will not be what any of us expects. And this is as it should be. If God were to show up in predictable ways, what little power and usefulness and good would this create? An epiphany is only an epiphany if it is unexpected. We will only ever see the holy in glimpses. We will find amazement in the unlikeliest of places. Awe will take us by surprise because you just can't schedule it. You cannot make an appointment with divinity. You cannot plan for the holy to break into your life when you would like it. All you and I can do is open ourselves up to its possibilities. We can only trust that it will happen. And to do that, we must remember what it was like to be a little child, what it means to put our hopes and dreams into something greater than ourselves. We must remember what it was like to have a Christmas wish. We must allow ourselves to be as vulnerable as a trusting child. In Mexico, another ritual associated with the Three Kings Day is the writing of a letter to send to the kings on the wind. Today, the day before Epiphany, small children all over Mexico are sitting at dining room tables with their parents and grandparents, composing their letters very, very carefully. Each letter will begin, "Queridos Reyes Magos, dear kings." Each letter will include specific toys and gifts that the child wishes for. It will include things that every little boy or girl knows are far too much to hope for. Each letter will be a list of hopes and wishes. And each mother or father, grandmother or grandfather, older brother or big sister who is helping compose the letter will know not only what to go out and to buy, but the depth of sincerity and trust of a little child's heart. When the letters are written, the whole family will go up to the roof of their house or to the top of their apartment building. With great ceremony, the letters will be sent off on the wind, carried out of sight on the updraft. The letters will float over towns and cities to where the three kings are already journeying day and night. These letters will reach the kings. They will read them, and the kings will know what each and every child wants. And from their supply of carefully packed gifts, quietly in the night tonight, these three kings will pay homage again by leaving a gift for every child. What will you write in your letter to the three kings this year? What hopes and dreams do you have for the year ahead? What unexpected places might you come face to face with the holiness of life? Where might you find your next epiphany? Happy New Year, and amen.